Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our question and answer series, I was teaching about the sin of sowing discord. Let's pick up at that point today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.
Sowing discord is an abomination to God, particularly as it pertains to brethren. Now, that's interesting, too, because the same Hebrew word used for abomination is also used in describing what the sin of homosexuality is to God. It makes them, you might say, sick, one to vomit, and one to judge, big time. Well, sowing discord among brethren is the same way. Now, sowing discord could be scorning. I've been around people that someone will get up and lead a song and say, "Can you believe that guy just didn't have much life in him in leading that song? Did you see the way he did that? Oh, what's wrong with him?" You know, and they didn't really do anything wrong, but they're scorning the same person over and over again to others, which is sowing discord. Sometimes they make things up. They're just an out-and-out lie in their scorning. Sometimes it's scorning. Sometimes it's just out-and-out gossip. It's undermining leadership that God has placed in their life. But either way, it is abominable to God. And so the guy that goes around and gossips, the guy that finds fault, the guy that is always mocking or scorning, his sin before God is just as bad as being a homosexual. He's no better than a homosexual. She's no better than a homosexual. Now, they don't like to be told that. I'm not saying that on my authority. I'm saying that on God's authority, because that's what the Bible tells us. Therefore, malice sees each of these things as an evil habit of the mind dwelling on these things. Now, this is where Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 comes into play. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I hope that you're listening to that verse, because, again, these sins in the individual life really begin in the mind. Now, let me interrupt my answer just to say this as an illustration. Many years ago, I think it was Bob Jones Sr., I heard giving this illustration, that a man walked by a bank every day, and he wasn't poor. He wasn't the richest man in town, but he wasn't the poorest man in town. He's average to maybe middle class, or maybe just above middle class. Every time he'd walk by that bank, he'd look in there and he'd see things, and just got to thinking, well, boy, that'd be an easy place to hold up. And each day that he'd walk by there, it just seemed to grow. And all of a sudden he was saying, if I was a burglar, if I was a guy, a robber, how would I hold that up and get away with it? And so he really worked it all out in his mind over days, weeks. And then he tried it one day, and of course he got caught. When they asked him why, I said, I was just trying. I just thought I could do it and get away. So I didn't even need it. He just trying to see. Because he had gone by that every day in that manner. Well, You say, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? Well, yes, it is. But that's when the mind was not thinking on the things it should. That's why for a Christian, you want to overcome gossip and scorning and sowing discord, those things of that nature, then whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when you're going to think on those things, or you're going to say those things and do those things, ask yourself, what purity and what virtue? How lovely is this? How pure is this what I'm doing? What a good report. How is this a good report? It may help you stay away from those things. Now, let me go on with the answer. There are things people say, do, and scheme against you. I've been in ministry now, full-time ministry, since 1978. Now, I helped out in youth and bus ministry and other things. My dad's ministry, and he started ministering in 1956, I believe it was. He started full-time pastoring. Look, I've been around full-time pastoring or in full-time ministry for many years. I've been 42 years alone as a full-time pastor, besides the years before that just served in the local church. I was married at 19, and I tell you what, my wife and I, we taught, worked in the bus ministry and things of that when just 19 years old. I started serving that way. Well, we got married in 1969, so for 50-some-odd years, we have been involved in ministry of the church. And when you're in a position of leadership, whether you're a youth director or you're a bus director or you're some other kind of director, there are going to be people that scheme against you. There are going to be people that want to have the position you have. There are going to be people that don't like what you say because you maybe used the Word of God and it hit them right between the eyes and they didn't want to be revealed. They didn't want their sin exposed or whatever. And so I'm just saying is that there'll always be opposition. I can't think of a time when I haven't been opposed in full-time ministry. But stand on the Word of God. You know, one of the best compliments that I get as a Christian, and I consider this as a compliment when I'm hitting a subject and it rubs people the wrong way, or people that's been going on, something's been going on, I just decided to address it from the Bible. And although they may be attacking me, they say, you just use the Bible as a weapon trying to defend yourself. And I think, you know, when they accused Jesus, he did the same thing. Jesus said, it is written. Have you never read? Did you ever think? And he would use scriptures. That would make him mad because he was using the Word of God to defend himself, and they didn't like it. He's just using the Bible. Jesus just uses the Bible. Yes, he's exalted his word above his name, Psalms 138:2 says. So again, if somebody attacks me and says he's just using the Bible to defend himself, I just got to get on my knees and thank God because I've done something that was Christ-like. Now, the word must be rightly divided. I actually had a person come in say that. I just said, look, we've been in a series of sermons ever for whatever got you riled up, started. And now, how does that not apply the way I preach? Show me how it doesn't apply. Well, he couldn't. And he was a Bible college graduate. Matter of fact, he had more education than I did. And he couldn't say anything. Well, your motive is wrong. And then I had to say, well, you know, I love you, man, but you're not really God. Only God can see my heart. But as far as I know, as a watchman, I'm supposed to attack with the sword, God's word, the very point of Satan's attack. And as Martin Luther said back there during the Reformation, if I cower at the point where the devil is attacking, where the enemy attacks, even though I be brave on all other points of the battlefield, if I cower at the point that he's attacked, then I'm nothing. I'm a failure, folks. I'm low down if I'm going to fail at the point the devil attacks. So the Word of God should be behind everything you do. Have a biblical reason for your ministry, for your stands, for your standards. Have a biblical reason. Now, I go on to say, There are things people say, do, and scheme against you. These things will happen unjustly to a person, which tells us that Satan is at work in the old nature of people. Therefore, the structure of the verse is showing us that God gives us a personal responsibility to lean on and trust in Him completely, having a sanctified mind that thinks and meditates in the Word, yet realizing the things of Ephesians 4:31, which tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Well, these things which grieve the Holy Spirit are precipitated by the actions of people, and often brethren. We still must keep in mind that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yet, those spirits are working in those people. Perhaps that is why Stephen could pray for those who stoned him to death. Now, in your school, students and teachers have personal responsibility before God in carrying out the things of walking in the Spirit, keeping your mind on the Lord. The things of verse 31 are things that can happen, but we have a personal responsibility before God to not allow the things that could tempt us to the things of verse 31, which result from the things people do. Okay, I'm going to do another insert here before I read you the rest of the answer. It's unfortunate. It's terrible. Look, I had psychology and even headed up group therapy groups for those that were incarcerated years ago in the juvenile division of a place that was for penal purposes. And I guess it was then I was seeing Rogerian and other types of psychology that was looking at the parents, that was looking at the living condition, whatever. It was trying to blame that person's faults and failures on the past or on situation. And those situations can affect a person if they let it. I've seen six-year-old children when I would be working security try to steal candy or toy or something like that, and they'd put it under the shirt. I'd be looking through a two-way mirror on the second floor, and no one would see me because it was a two-way mirror. But, you know, even a six-year-old kid would look to the right, to the left, every which way to see if anybody was looking. There would be employees right there near that would not see it, but I would see it.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will